In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my dear Christian friends. I'm told that seminary students often debate relevant, eternal, and life-changing matters. I recall that as a seminary student, my classmates and I often debated relevant, eternal, and life-changing matters. Though I no longer recall exactly what we debated that was relevant, eternal, and life-changing. 2 weeks ago, I was in Nanjing, China. I was on the principal campus, principal seminary campus in that country. There are 14 seminaries in China, preparing men just like you for Christian ministry. None nearly as beautiful as the campus of Fort Wayne or St. Louis. Each campus, in fact, very humble, very poor, but each doing the task of training future workers. We also visited the Amity Press in Nanjing, printing Bibles right in China. 2 million Bibles a year printed in China. 5 million Bibles printed in the last 3 years, printing Bibles in China. Can you imagine that? Before going to China, a number of us visited our partner church in Hong Kong. It's a very, very small church, 32 congregations. A church for whom 1997 has some very special relevance and importance, because in that year, mainland China will once again assume responsibility for Hong Kong. Now, some people say this is awful. Hong Kong will become a part of Communist China in 1997. But there are others who say, it's time to celebrate. In 1997, the Lutheran Church will be within Communist China and capable of doing better mission work in all that country. But back to the beginning. Seminary students often debate relevant, eternal, and life-changing issues. Would this qualify as an issue for debate? What will be the role of your church? What will be your role in bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the 1 billion people of China? What will be your church's role? What will be your role in bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to 1/5 of all the people who live on this planet, almost none of whom know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I've always found this text very interesting. Jesus went up on the mountainside and he called to himself those he wanted. They came to him, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And he chose Peter, James, John, you know the list, the names of all of the apostles. Christ chose these 12. We always say, Lord, you could have done a whole lot better than this 12. But these are the ones that he chose. Certainly sinful men. No doubt about that at all. And yet 12 very special men who would see things their eyes could never believe, because the blind would see, the lame would walk, the lepers would be cleansed, the dead would be brought back to life. 12 who would hear things their ears couldn't comprehend, but who would say with everyone else, no one has ever spoken like this man before. 12 who would witness the agony of Good Friday. 11 who would witness the joy of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. 12 men chosen by God, chosen by grace. But that wasn't the end of the Lord's choosing process. That wasn't even the beginning of the Lord's choosing process. I have chosen you, from eternity. I've always known you by name. You have always been mine. Just as he chose these 12, he has chosen us. He could have done better, but he has chosen us by grace, chosen us to live a life of forgiveness. So far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've taken away every sin from you. Chosen us for the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Chosen us to understand what it means to be free in Christ, because when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Chosen us not because of who we are or who we will ever be. Chosen us by grace. But there's more to the text. He called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And they went out, and they preached with joy and with zeal. They spoke the message of this Christ who was crucified, risen, and living. They could not but help to speak the things that they had seen and to speak the words that they had heard. Same word today. Same word for us. He has chosen us, and he sends us out to preach. And what a message we have to preach. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Christ healing a man. And the man says, "Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, "No." He says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. And I want you to tell everyone you meet how kind and gracious and good God has been to you." That's what we preach. That's the burden of the message. How God has reconciled us, you, me, to himself in Christ. How God has entrusted to us this message of reconciliation and peace and joy in Christ. How God does not count even one of our sins against us. How God declares that we are his ambassadors. We are to speak how God made his Son to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might live that free, joyful, forgiven life in Christ. And now we are free to tell everyone what he has done. In the United States, that's where we do most of our work, in the United States, among people like us. And I pray to God that we'll be working much more among people unlike us in this country. To preach the word that fills our heart and fills our life. In places like Togo and Botswana and Venezuela, New Guinea, Eastern Europe, Russia, India, Vietnam, Iraq, China, all those places. Jesus went up on a mountainside and he called to himself those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12. Designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. I'm told that seminary students often debate relevant, eternal, life-changing issues. Let me ask it again. What will your church's role be? What will your role be in bringing the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the billion people in China? What will your church's role be? After all, you are the church, and you will set the course for this church. And what will your role be? You who are to be the future shepherds of the congregations, the future missionaries of this church. What will your role be in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the one-fifth of this earth's population that has never had the chance to hear, and to all the others who are still unconvinced and unconvicted, who have not yet responded to the gospel call of our Savior? It's something to think about. It seems to me this is what is really relevant and eternal and life-changing. Amen.